The Bible said in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet unto Shechinah, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. You remember one of the complaints that went on in the book of Hosea is that they didn't know. They didn't know the truth. And Habakkuk is praying that God would make himself known and revive his work in the midst of the years. Do y'all know what a privilege it is? In whatever capacity, what a privilege it is to be just a little part of God's work that's going on here on the earth. Do you realize that if you put a $5 bill in this offering on Wednesday night, or a $10 bill, or a $1 bill, or 50 cents, that's going that somebody might hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Realize when we gather around this altar and pray for our missionaries, pray for our country. One of the prayers in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said that the word of the Lord may have free course. If the word of God has free course, business picks up. Amen. Tonight I want to try to conclude with the help of the Lord. I hope I can get through this tonight, talking about this subject of mercy and wrath. Remember mercy. We're seeing all kinds of things happen in our country. I do believe with all my heart God is trying to get our attention. But I'm wondering in my heart what it's going to take. Miss Eve was telling me that she saw it somewhere this past week. It was like, I wish we could go back to 9/12. Think about that for just a moment. There was a day or two there, Brother Larry, we weren't black and white. We weren't Republicans and Democrats. We were Americans. There was a day or two there where requests were being made publicly that we'd pray and get a hold of the God of heaven. I say a day or two. I really think it lasted a week or two. But how soon? We're looking for somebody to blame, you know what I mean? And the division started back. The Word of God said a house divided against itself, it just can't stand. You think about that now tonight. May God help us. Amen. They want to change the national anthem now. They don't like the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. I said they. You know who I'm talking about. Amen. Those that think they know better than the Bible. Those that think they know better than God. Those that would just soon be a nation without God. Amen. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for this Bible. Thank you for these people that have gathered here tonight. I pray you'd stir our hearts tonight, our Father. Lord, we do love you. And God, it's all because you first loved us. Help us to never forget that, our Lord. God, you looked down one day. We were in an unlovable condition. But Lord, you loved us. And Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd make this pastor an encouragement to this people. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to just talk to you just a moment tonight before I get started. But sometimes, and this was sparked in my mind in Sunday school, when Brother Mike was with us in our teen class in Sunday school, Brother Mike Van Horn on Sunday. But if somebody asked you to define mercy, how would you define mercy? If someone asked you to define grace, how would you define grace? Years ago, I kind of learned a definition that I think is kind of easy to remember. If I were going to define mercy tonight, it would be God withholding from us what we deserve. In other words, when a person comes under conviction, that person understands that they deserve hell and they deserve to be separated from God. But God in His mercy, ain't you glad, withholds that we deserve. I believe that's what Habakkuk is talking about here when he said in wrath. In other words, God, even when you're angry, if you would, remember mercy. Withhold that. Grace, where mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve, the punishment that we deserve. Grace would be, on the other hand, God giving to us everything that we do not deserve. And you all forgive me tonight, but as I prepared to preach, I thought, Lord, Brother Steve, I thought, I don't deserve to be standing here. I don't deserve, Brother Wayne, I thought about your friendship. I don't deserve that. But God, amen. I don't deserve all of His friendship. I don't deserve your prayers, though I know you pray for me. I don't deserve, beloved, listen, to be able to, when y'all open your Bible, does God speak to your heart? Brother Gary, we don't deserve that, brother. Amen. This book could be just as cold and dead to us as it is to a lot of people. But aren't you glad, beloved, we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. I learned a long time ago, if you find a hard passage of Scripture, Brother Craig, you go to looking for somebody to help you with it. It's hard for them too. Best thing to do is get on your knees and talk to the author. If he can't help you, the one that wrote it down, ain't nobody else going to help you. Amen. Just talk to the one that wrote the book. I'll give you several things tonight, and we'll be looking in the book of Hosea again. Turn to chapter 2 and verse number 4. Chapter 2 and verse number 4. I'm not trying to drag my feet on this subject. I am really not. But I've got so much right here in front of me tonight. And every time I look at it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So we'll just go to a little after. And wherever we are, we'll uncouple, couple back up. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, that God, at times, He has denied mercy. Look in Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible said, "And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms." If you go back, if you remember in chapter 1 and verse number 6, "And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away." I think tonight you and I need to be thinking about that. We're living in a day when God can remember mercy, and God does remember mercy. But beloved, there's a day coming when it's going to be too late. And there are people that are walking the face of the earth right now where it's already too late. Amen. The Bible said that He would turn them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are unseemly. The Bible talks about a conscience that's been seared like with a hot iron. Amen. I would hate to be in that state tonight, to be living and breathing and not have an opportunity to experience the mercy of God. Mercy is denied. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 for just a moment. I've read this in your hearing before, but I think it's worthy of repeating, because so many people, they get this picture of God. They absolutely cannot picture 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a time when people have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, a time in the great tribulation when God said, "I will send strong delusion, and all them that had pleasure in unrighteousness will be damned." That's what the Word of God said. I believe there's going to be a multitude saved in the tribulation of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. That's what the book of Revelation teaches. But beloved, it's not going to be Christ rejectors in this generation. Amen. In Proverbs chapter number 1, he said, how long in verse 22, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's what Habakkuk is praying, that God in the midst of the years would make known, and in his wrath he would remember mercy. He said, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. That's just about the way it seems today. The word of God said, verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. This is just what's going on in the book of Hosea when God says he looks and there's no truth, there's no knowledge of God in the land. And he said in verse 26, I'll also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You think about Revelation. You think about in that tribulation time when men want to die and can't die. When men are running to the rocks and the mountains and crying, fall on us and hide us from the face of Almighty God. The Bible said then, look in verse 28, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you there's a day and an hour when mercy's gone. How you and I ought to be taking advantage of this day and this hour when mercy's still here. When a sinner can still say, God, have mercy on me, and experience the mercy of an almighty God. He said, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For their turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, how many is glad tonight you're a whoso? How many is glad you heard him and you obeyed him? Amen. You heard the voice of the Lord. He hearkened unto him. He said that person will dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. What a contrast tonight. There are times when God has just flat out denied mercy. You know, tonight we think about most of the time when we're thinking about the lost. I think it's just a tendency, a human tendency. Things were said in the service about the prisoners and different ones doing different things on Sunday night. Maybe we think about the prisoners when we think about those that are lost, or we think about, like in the Bible, the woman taken in adultery, or we think about the thief that stood alongside of Jesus. I was having a conversation with my granddaughter the other day, and listen, the guy that's living in a fine home on the hill that just does not know Jesus Christ, has never been born again. Maybe he's not a liar. Maybe he's not a cheat. Are you listening to me? Maybe he's not a drunkard. Maybe he don't take drugs. Maybe he don't go out on his wife. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you trying to say? Look at Matthew chapter 7 for just a minute, and I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of people that know that they have never experienced the mercies of God. But there are people, listen to me, that think they have experienced the mercy of God and have not experienced the mercy of God. You remember Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, search the Scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. And here is a group of people in Matthew chapter number 7 that went around Calvary. You say, Pastor, can you not find mercy if you go around Calvary? You know the answer to that. You go around Calvary, you'll never find mercy. You'll never experience the grace of God. Here's a group of people that Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. There was a time in my life when that passage of Scripture ate my lunch. Every time I read it. You say, Pastor, why did it eat your lunch? I'll tell you why. Because I had religion and did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this crowd is right here, beloved. They've got it all on the outside and got nothing on the inside. You look at them and say, listen, I don't even like to say this. I really don't. Several times in my life, not many, but I can think of two real quickly. Somebody said something like this, if so-and-so didn't go to heaven, they ain't none of us going. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. You better know in your own heart, it ain't got nothing to do with so-and-so. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to heaven because so-and-so went. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died on an old rugged cross for my sin. And one day a sinner finally swallowed his pride and said yes to the Savior of the world. Here's a group of people that never. The Bible didn't say they knew me and then they fell out of grace. He said, I never knew you. Because the only way to come to know Jesus is not your wonderful works, not prophesying in his name, not, beloved, casting out devils. He said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Beloved, I'm telling you, there's a day today, there's a day out there in the future when mercy will be denied. Mercy will be denied. Nobody wants to think of that side of God, but it's the side of God, beloved, that's taught right here in the Word of God. Amen. We need God's mercy. But there was a time when God has denied mercy. Let me give you the second thing that's on my heart tonight. That is, God has delivered mercy. Not only are there times when God has denied mercy, but I'm standing here tonight because God has delivered mercy. The Word of God said in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. I've already said this, but I want to reiterate it tonight. I believe in a strong military. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to make a statement tonight. You don't have to get mad at me. If you do, you can get in line. But it takes more to have a strong military than tanks. It takes more to have a strong military than helicopters and airplanes. And beloved, I'm going to say it. I don't care if it goes out on the internet. We're lacking leadership. We need some men with a backbone like a saw log that'll stand up. Men more concerned about the woke culture. God help us. In America. You know how I believe we could find some good leaders for the military? Let them lower ranks vote. They know who the leaders are, Brother Steve. Quit letting the politicians make the decisions. Amen. Let somebody that knows how to fight raise somebody up. Amen. For the glory of God. God has delivered mercy. But it don't come by bow or by sword or by battle, or by horses or by horsemen. God said, I'm going to have mercy. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32 for just a moment. I just wanted to show you this. This passage of Scripture grabbed my heart a while ago. Genesis chapter number 32, I believe it's Jacob. Genesis I made mention of this a while ago. That's probably why it was in my heart. It ain't been too many hours since I read this text. I had actually forgotten about making a note of it. In Genesis chapter number 32, look at verse number 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham. Y'all remember, there's a song, I'll share it later in the message, Faith of Our Fathers. You know what, we have a good foundation in this country to build upon. The Bible said here, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Please look at verse 10. Every one of us ought to underline this in our Bible. We ought to make it personal. He said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. You know what I believe is killing us in America? We think we're worthy. You know what I believe is killing the Spirit of God in our churches? We think we're worthy. Oh, beloved, listen, we never need to get to that place. We need to remember, beloved, we're not worthy of His mercy. We're not worthy of His grace. We're not worthy of His presence. We're not worthy of His truth. That's what Jacob said right there. We're not worthy of it, but how we ought to thank God, Brother David, for what... Listen, we live... We don't just live in America. And we don't just live in the Bible Belt. Thank God Almighty, we live in the buckle of the belt. Say amen. You don't have to go somewhere looking for truth. Amen. We have truth. Yes, there's a lot of error. But thank God there's truth that God's people can glean from every day of their life. And we're not worthy of that truth. Let's look at the third thing tonight. I'm not going to get finished. That last one is huge. But let's look at the third thing tonight. God has denied mercy. God has delivered mercy. But the third thing on my heart tonight is God has desired mercy. God wants. You know what I believe? I believe it doesn't matter who the sinner is. If that sinner can still be saved, they've not stepped over that line, they're not reprobate, their conscience is not seared as with a hot iron. I believe that sinner, that there's a God in heaven that desires to have mercy more than sinners desire His mercy. I believe God, the night that I was saved, I believe He wanted to save me even more than I wanted to be saved. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Just look at all the preparation that went into it. The Word of God said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I think about all the preparation, how God saved my brother, how my brother invited me to church, how God let Miss Eve and I have that first baby, and how that I remember having to make a choice between raising that baby and sin. Say amen. I looked in that baby's eyes and said, I can't keep living like this. Oh, you say, Pastor, did you get saved? Not till 6.5 years later. But I want to tell you, it started me on a journey in the grace and the mercy of God. And God was pointing me towards Calvary all the way. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. And I thank God that He desired that mercy. If we're going to experience that mercy, there's a couple of things I want to give you tonight. There must be a return to the faith. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said, Hear the word of the Lord. It said, You children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There must be a return to the faith. Now let me say this. America has a problem. One of America's major problems is not political. One of America's major problems is where the melting pot of the world, and we've swallowed this lie that all the steeples point up and all the religions point to God. That's a lie. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. I'm not preaching religion tonight. I'm preaching a relationship. You must be born again. I'm not preaching a Baptist way. I'm preaching the Word of God, the Bible way. Amen. I'm not asking you if you're a member of this church. I'm asking you if you're a member of His church. Somebody help me tonight. God desires mercy. There must be a return to the faith. I don't know when I've heard this song. And the lyrics are just outstanding. I'd love to sing it here in the church sometime. The lyrics go like this. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. How many knows the song? Amen. How many's glad I'm not singing? Keep them hands down. Be merciful for once. Amen. Second verse. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Verse 3, faith of our fathers we will love, both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and a virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. The Word of God said in Hosea, hear the word of the Lord. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Word of God said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'll tell you something tonight. I'm like the disciples. I've taught you this, I know. They only asked Jesus that I can see for two things. They said, Lord, increase our faith. How many could handle that tonight? And then they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. I believe they go hand in hand. I believe a man that's praying is believing God, and a man that's believing God's praying. Say amen. I believe they go hand in hand. Weak in prayer, weak in faith. Weak in faith, weak in prayer. How many can relate to that in your life? There must be a return to the faith. Then there must be a return to the Father. The Word of God said in Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Wouldn't it be good? I know it'll never be 100% as a nation. I know that. But wouldn't it be good if let's just say it like this. Wouldn't it be good if the majority of born-again people in America, the majority of the born-again people in America would say, I will arise and go to my Father's house. You know what the prodigal son was saying when he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of the hired servants. He was expressing humility. He knew, like Jacob, he didn't deserve his father's mercy. Amen. But yet, the Father had mercy. I believe that elder brother is in type of what we have there in Matthew chapter 7, where I was reading a while ago. I've been home all along. You've never killed me, the fatted calf. You understand what I mean? He was jealous. This my son was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive again. Let us make merry. There must be a return. God has desired mercy. He wants to have mercy, but we must return to the faith. we must return to the Father. But I'm going to give you this tonight in closing. I believe we must return to the field. This goes hand in hand with what we were talking about with Brother Coulter a while ago and the pastor from Smyrna. Brother Steve, I've forgotten Brother Steve's last name. I've met him. He seems to be a fine man. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I believe the Bible teaches us that the seed is the Word of God. In one place in the Scripture it said, is the seed yet in the barn? My wife and I, back in the spring, were given some seed potatoes. And had we just left those potatoes in that sack, all we would have had was a bunch of sprouts and rotten taters. But we got them out of the sack. I think I helped with that. Somebody got them out of the sack. I know Miss Eve cut them because she wanted to make sure there's at least one eye on each tater. And every plant, every piece of tater produced taters. I mean, usually there's a gap in the tater row somewhere, you know, where one of them don't do right. But all I'm saying is the seed had to be put in the ground. When we plowed it up, it was part of a hay field to start with. So when I mowed the grass real short before we started plowing on it, ripping up the ground, it was hard. I mean, it was hard as a rock. I'm glad I didn't have to do it with a shovel or a pick the way they did back in the old day. If I'd have had to do that, Brother David, I'd have called you. Amen. Right back yonder is a man that needs some calluses on his hands. Amen. He knows what I'm talking about. But we started with what they call a ripper. We didn't start with the seed. I'm glad our Heavenly Father still has a ripper in this world. One that can plow up the ground, plow up the heart. You say, Pastor, I hope God will plow up some sinners' hearts. He needs to plow ours first. Ours gotten crusty anywhere. He's talking to the children of Israel, break up your fallow ground. Break it up. There's all kinds of ways to do that. But when it comes time to plant in a garden, a man thanks God for a tractor and thanks God for a tiller. Amen. And then you thank God for a wife. I didn't mean to put her last, but she knows how to plant it, she knows how to pick it, and best of all, she knows how to cook it. It must be a return to the field. The seed is the Word of God. The soil is the heart. The Savior must give the harvest. You remember in the book of Corinthians, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And I'll be honest with you, there was a day, I really believe it got the Baptist church in trouble. There was a day when churches were in competition with each other, trying to outnumber each other in the bus ministry, or outnumber each other in Sunday school. We'll give you a hot dog, we'll give you two hot dogs, we'll give you two hot dogs and a hamburger, we'll give you two hot dogs, a hamburger, and an ice cream. If a church is preaching the truth, we ought to be praying for them, not competing with them. A return to the field. Let me look at one scripture and we'll be done. Look, Luke chapter 10 for just a moment, please. It's 5 after 8. Luke Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, you all know the story. Jesus, in verse number 30, said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." We believe this is a picture of a lost man and his condition. "By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. All of them saw the same thing. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." I'll never forget when the Lord spoke to my heart about these verses right here. Two of these men were living their life by chance. The Word of God said here, a certain man came down, and when he saw him, it said in verse number 31, "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and likewise a Levite." Two of these men are living their life by chance. But this Samaritan is living his life by choice. Can I tell you tonight, every child of God, we ought to be living our life by choice. We ought to choose to serve God. We ought to choose to be a light, amen? We ought to choose to show mercy. We ought to choose to have compassion. We ought to choose not just to look and go down the other side of the road, but to look and see the need and run to that need. The Word of God said here, he had compassion on him. And look at verse 34. "And he went to him." You say, "Pastor, I don't know what this got to do with mercy." Hang on a minute. "And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave them to the host, and he said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" I'm not sure about this. I won't be dogmatic about it, but it's possible that he gave him everything he had, Brother Steve. He seems like the kind of fellow, if he would have had three, is it say 2 pence right there? What I read? Yeah, 2 pence. Seemed like the kind of fellow, if he'd have had 3 pence, he'd have just went ahead and throwed that 3rd pence in there. He may have, at that particular time, given all that he had, knowing he was going to have some more later. But he said, "If he owes you more, I'll come back and pay you." Which now of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Look at verse 37. I'm done. And he said, "He that what? That showed mercy." He that showed mercy. I'll tell you something tonight. Brother Jim, Cable, how I love you, and Sister Marge. I tell every one of you tonight, we'll never, preachers tonight that's here, we'll never be more like Jesus than when we're showing mercy. Every child of God that's here tonight, I said, we'll never be more like Jesus than when we're showing mercy on another human being. And I'm telling you tonight, there's a lot of circles where there's not much mercy being shown. I was telling I can't even remember now, I believe it was Brother Long Sunday morning, about running into that man with the tattoos in prison, demons tattooed all over his arms, up his neck, covered with demons. And the man had been saved. And the man was broken over the mess that was all over him. And he came to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, "Preacher, I'm ashamed of these tattoos. And I give God the glory tonight for what I told that young man. He was a lot bigger than I am. It was easy to show mercy to him." But I give God the glory. I'm not smart enough to think about what I said to him. Instantly, I said to him, I said, "Brother, do you know the difference between your tattoos and mine?" He looked at me. He couldn't see anything. Of course, I was dressed about like I am now. And he said, "No, what?" I said, "You can see yours." I said, "Sin has tattooed me too." I said, "I've got scars that I'll carry to my grave. But," I said, "God has forgiven me. And God has forgiven you." You say, "Pastor, why did you tell that?" I didn't mean to. I just believe in that moment, God allowed me to show mercy. Instead of that man leaving there thinking he's on his high horse and I'm down here. We're down here together, Brother Wayne. Just trying to find our way home. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for coming.